worthy. Praise the Lord. Thank you for that special, Brother Ricky, Ms. JJ. Appreciate that. Ms. Noel, we do appreciate just the great music and the great talent that God has blessed our church with, and we give Him the glory for that. But we are in Acts chapter 12 this morning. Acts chapter 12. Glad everybody made it in this morning again, and thankful that the weather cleared out. It was one of those nice snows that just stuck around for a little bit, which is pretty common around here, right? That's the way we roll when it comes to snow. We let it snow and it melts within usually a day. And so hopefully you got your bread and milk yesterday. And I'm not kidding. It's a tradition in the South. I mean, it's just one of those things. I know people laugh at us, but I can remember we've had bread and milk. And if they're calling for snow, my mom, she says, I'm going to get some bread and milk. And we'll be swinging by there. It's just sort of a thing to do. But anyway, we're just weird like that. And you Northerners will forgive us, okay, and show a little mercy. And but nevertheless, it was pretty. Those of you that like snow, did you think the snow was pretty yesterday? Yes, I thought it was too. And it was good. I got out there and made a snowman with the kids, and that was fun. I got to L. Thomas a few times with a snowball. That was fun. And he was throwing some fast ones too, I'm here to tell you. But what he didn't know is Daddy had put a gumball in mine, and my snowballs gave him a little bit. No, I'm just kidding. All right, I only did that with one. But nevertheless, it was fun, and we enjoyed it. And hopefully that'll be it for a little while. Then we'll be seeing spring here for long. Or, you know, another 70-degree weather. Who knows? That's what it was just recently. It changes like that around here. But nevertheless, hope everybody enjoyed it in some way. I do know that some enjoyed it for sure, because I have a view of this field over here. And yesterday when it was snowing, I saw some people out there having a real good time. It had something to do with a four-wheeler and the bed of a truck being slung around. I tell you what, I was very tempted to go out there and join them, and so was Mike. But I believe the Holy Spirit said, no, you don't do that, okay? You already tried to ride a bike, and you don't need to be getting behind it. But nevertheless, it's good. Acts chapter 12, please. Acts chapter 12. We're going to look here, verses 20 through 23. Now, you'll remember the context, right? We were just there last week. This is indeed where God has given great deliverance to Peter out of prison, who was incarcerated by the ruler of that region, a man by the name of Herod Agrippa the First. He had locked Peter up. God delivered him. He was by a group of people praying and seeing the hand of God move mightily. And Herod did not appreciate that at all. In fact, he would murder all the guards that were there, 16 that we know of. He would murder them. And then he decided he would take a little vacation. And that's where we come to. Peter has been delivered. Peter had came to the prayer meeting and whatnot. And then the scriptures transition to verse number 20. The end of verse 19, it tells us that he, that's Herod, went down from Judea to Caesarea and there abode. And Herod was highly displeased with them of Tyre and Sidon. And they came with one accord to him, and having made Blastus, the king's chamberlain, their friend, desired peace, because their country was nourished by the king's country. And upon a set day, Herod, arrayed in royal apparel, sat upon his throne and made an oration unto them. And the people gave a shout, saying, it is the voice of a god and not of a man. And immediately the angel of the Lord smote him, because he gave not God the glory. And he was eaten of worms and gave up the ghost. With the Lord's help this morning, I'd like to preach a message to you entitled, The Glory belongs to God. The glory belongs to God. Let's pray. Father, we are rejoicing this morning in the wonderful songs that we've been able to sing to you. And Lord, thank you for giving us that avenue of praise. All that you've done for us and all that you are, we get to lift our hearts up to you. And I know that that is pleasing to you. Even those of us that, Lord, can't sing very well, like myself, Lord, you look at our heart and you look at God that we love you and that we want to know you better and we want to thank you. And so, Lord, please be glorified here, not only in our song service, but Lord, I pray you would be glorified through the preaching of the Word of God this morning. And I'm asking that you would captivate us, Lord, with your presence and teach us about you and about your glory. And Father, I feel so inadequate to preach this message, but I am asking that you would just speak through me as just as a vessel. And Lord, that I would not say anything that would be inappropriate, and I would not say any more than I need to or any less, but just, Lord, what you want me to. And may you bless my brothers and sisters here. May you help them, Lord, to have a listening heart. And Lord, I do pray for perhaps a friend, some of our friends here that may not know you right now. They may not have a relationship with you. And I'm asking God by your power that you would show them, even this morning, that you love them and that you want to begin a relationship with them by you saving them from their sins. Oh God, would you do a work now? We trust you will. In Jesus' name I do pray. Amen. The glory belongs to God. And that is going to be the lesson that Herod is going to learn. And I do believe that each of us can learn from this passage of how important it is to give God the glory. Always. And it's a subject that, quite frankly, I do feel so limited in being able to rightly identify and explain what this means. I do believe the human language is not enough. But we do have the Word of God, and that is sufficient to help us understand who God is. But we see here in the context, this tyrant that I introduced a moment ago, Herod Agrippa the First, he learns the hard way that God will not share his glory with another. In our text, we see Herod leaves Jerusalem, and after Peter was delivered, the hand of God is upon Peter and the church, but this man goes on in a devastating pathway. And this, where we find Herod going to Caesarea. This was an administrative base, if you will, for the Roman military and that rule of that day, and also his hometown. And we see that because of him going there, there's some things that we see that come up in verse number 20. To try to summarize somewhat of what you see in verse 20, we see that there are regions that are trying to appeal to Herod because they're hungry. Their people are hungry. Their towns are in need of nourishment. And that's what we find in verse 20. So they're making an appeal to Herod. And if you want to put it in today's terms, it would be sort of like a trade war. There was a trade war that Herod, because of the needed food and nourishment coming through his region, he had put a stop on it, and they were trying to make an appeal through this man that you see there, Blastus, which was the king's chamberlain. That's who they had as a go-between. Just a lot of politics right here in this verse, quite frankly. But nevertheless, there is an agreement that will be reached. And what is going to happen is Herod is going to attempt to flaunt his power. Herod plans a flamboyant political rally inside of arena built by his grandfather, Herod the Great. And boy, is it going to be a hoopla here. It is going to be a big deal. He's going to seek to impress the people before him. And this, my friend, is where Agrippa meets his demise. Why? Because he did not rebuke the crowd that was cheering and chanting for him. He did not rebuke the crowd when they said, it is the voice of a God. He gave not God the glory. So what does it mean that he didn't give God the glory? That's what I want to answer this morning. I want to answer this morning, what did it mean that he didn't give God the glory? What we first have to look at, what does the glory mean? Well, in the first terms of glory, just defining it in its basic meaning, it is simply this. The word glory comes from the Greek word doxa, which means praise. It means honor. It means prestige. It's where we get the term doxology from. We have the doxology that we sing praise unto God for who he is. It is God alone who is worthy of this prestige and honor. We didn't come here this morning to praise a man or to praise a group of people. We didn't come here to praise a state or to praise a government, ladies and gentlemen. We came here to praise the Almighty God this morning. And his name is Jesus. And we exalt him. And he's the center of attention. And that's our heart's desire, that he will always be the center of attention. That's what we see. We see that this man has received glory and he didn't give it to God. And this is what we need to understand this morning. The glory is not for us. It doesn't belong to us. And I just want to tell you how thankful I am to God, how he orchestrates everything in life. I'm in awe of his guiding hand. I talked to Brother Mike this morning. We meet for prayer every Sunday morning. And I looked at, we look over the order of service, and I looked at it and I said, Brother Mike, did you read my message? You know, it was the songs we sang just went right along with this message. And we didn't plan that. I didn't tell Brother Mike, you need to, every once in a while I'll request a song, but Brother Mike planned that service, plans the order of service and the songs, and I was so thankful how they have lined up perfectly with talking about the glory of God. You know, I got a little 3-year-old who I often find, whether it be in her room or shared room there or in the living room, I often find that she's gotten her hands on something she's not supposed to have. And I have often found her in that situation, and I will utter something like this. Now, those of you, I can say it, 3-year-old, she's Caroline, okay? I'll say, Caroline, I said, that doesn't belong to you. And without fail, it's like it's a recorder built into her. She says, it does. That's 2 words. It does. And I say, no, it doesn't. That's either so-and-so or so-and-so or whatever. That's daddy's. No, it's mine. It does. It belongs to me. And she means that, and I have to, of course, teach her that. But she says, you know what? It might have not been mine, but it is now. But you know what, ladies and gentlemen, we have to be careful, because sometimes without even knowing it, and sometimes knowing it very tragically, we can do that with God's glory. And we ought to be super careful as his children to make sure he gets the glory that only he deserves. So I want us to see here 4 reasons why Herod gave not God the glory. I want us to see 4 reasons why Herod gave not God the glory. Number one, I submit to you that I believe it is because he trusted in religion instead of Christ Jesus. You say, where do you get that from the scriptures? Well, it's very obvious he wasn't a believer. It's very obvious that he was anti-Christ. He was anti-Christian. He hated those Christians. He murdered James, the half-brother of John, the brother of John, and he was going to murder Peter. He does not like Christ. In fact, he was a follower of Judaism, but like the Pharisees, which he ran with and tried to impress, he did it for self-righteous reasons. And I do believe that anybody that seeks to be self-righteous in life, they try to take the glory from God. Let me explain to you why I think that. For instance, think about our salvation. It's all of God that gives us our salvation. It's all of the Lord. I simply embrace it by faith. But as far as the work that was accomplished on Calvary, it was all God. And my friends, in fact, let me show you Ephesians 2:8-9. I believe we have it here. Look what the Word of God says. It says here, this is Isaiah 42. Do we have Ephesians? Yes. For by grace are ye saved through faith. And what does that say? And that not of yourselves. It is the gift of God, not of works, not of man's effort, lest any man should what? Boast, brag. Listen, one of the first ways that I believe Herod showed forth he didn't want God to get the glory, he was trying to be self-righteous on his own merit. And it was working against him. And I think about the scores of religions around this globe, in our own country, even in our own state. People who are simply religious, they go to churches, they go to religious institutions and different things of that nature, and they try to be good people. I think of the cults. I think of Islam. I think of Mormonism. I think of the Jehovah's Witnesses, who all base their theology on what they can do to get to heaven. But I want to tell you what the gospel teaches. The glory goes all to God. My salvation is in Christ, in Christ alone. It is not in my baptism. It is not in my membership. It is not in the good things I've done, the things I've given to the church or to anybody. It is not, my friends. And I believe that that is the first reason we see that he didn't give God the glory. You know, Jesus gave the example. We can go just back to the logo there. But Jesus gave the example of the Pharisee and the publican. You remember? He gave that parable. And he was teaching something very important there for all mankind to grasp. Here you have the religious man, who in that case was the Pharisee. And he basically piped up and said, "Oh God, I am so glad you have not made me like those people, those sinners, those people that do all that sinful stuff. I'm so glad you haven't made me like that." That was the first example that Christ gave. That was the Pharisee. Then he gave the second example, which was the publican. Now you say, now notice I didn't say Republican, okay? The publican, but the publican was a tax collector. And you say, well, what's so bad about tax collectors? I mean, how could they be that bad? Well, you understand the historical context. In that time, these were normally Jewish men who were contracted out by the Roman government, who would do this. They would go collect taxes for the Roman government, and then they would go to, collect the religious tax for the temple. And then, get this, they could charge as much as they want because they had to give a certain cut to the Roman government, and the rest they got to keep. So what did that provoke? It provoked many of these tax collectors to rip people off and to get as much money as they could. And they were some wicked people, taking advantage of poor people. In fact, it's commonly stated that even in this time, taxes were around 30 to 40% of people were of their income, up to 40% of their income. And they would take advantage of people. So then Jesus says, what about this? You had the Pharisee who was self-righteous, but then you had the publican. The publican was that tax collector. And he gave that example. And then what did Jesus say about this one? What was his testimony? "Oh God, be merciful unto me, a sinner." Wow, what a difference. And Jesus was teaching there, that's the one I came for. I didn't come for the self-righteous, the one who had their own righteousness, their own religion. They don't need repentance. They don't need to be bought by the blood of Christ. They don't need redemption, because redemption gives God the glory. He gets it all. I am what I am by the grace of God this morning, friend, and you are too. And you know what that does? It just brings great glory to God. I'm here because of Him. Then we see, secondly, not only because He trusted in religion instead of Christ Jesus, the sent Messiah, the sent Savior, but number two, He sought for glamour instead of godliness. Notice verse 21 in your Bible. It says here, "And upon a set day," it was going to be a big event that Herod set. Notice that first phrase there, "arrayed in royal apparel." Josephus, the historian, the Jewish historian, describes the royal robe here. It was made of silver. And as this man Herod sat there on his throne, he had a robe made of silver, and it was a time of day, Josephus reports, that it was simply glistening in the sun. It was something like you have never seen before. And this man in his royal apparel, he loved the glamour. And I want to tell you, if you and I were getting to a point where we really like people looking at us, and where we want the attention, we could very well be trying to rob God of His glory. You see, Herod was more concerned about his image than anything else. He put himself on display to impress everyone there. And it was a road to take God's glory. And may I say, as Christians, you and I ought always to act in a way that draws attention to God and not ourselves. Always. Just keep that as a foundational principle. Everything I say and do in life, I want that action, whatever it may be, to bring glory to God. To attract people to Him. Not me. God used me as a channel, but Lord, help me to be one who simply is there to point others to You. This should affect every area of our life. Let me say this, that I think hits home with all of us, including right here. I believe it grieves the Spirit of God when Christians are more concerned about self-image than they are God's image. And I believe that indeed, when we are so protected of our own self-image, I do believe it robs God of His glory. And we have got to be careful with that, because that can go several ways. There's no end in sight. The devil can lead us in a trap very easily. Self-image. It can be me concealing sin in my life. Do you know the very truth about this is, when we do sin, and we do, okay, even as believers, we still sin. But do you know when we do sin, God does want us to be broken about it. You know it glorifies God when we respond to sin in our lives His way? Because that glorifies Him. This is how it doesn't glorify Him. I got sin in my life, and I hide it. I just put forth a facade. What am I doing? Self-image. I'm getting the glory. But if I'm open, and I have sin in my life and I get it right, if I sinned against someone, I've done whatever the case may be, you know what I open myself up to? You know what that does? It brings glory to God. Because what does that show? It, number one, shows humility. Number two, it shows dependence. Number three, it shows honesty. All those things glorify God. And then fourthly, when a church is involved or a family is involved, you know what the fourth thing it shows forth? It shows forth forgiveness. And forgiveness always glorifies God. But yet sometimes we create an environment in our churches where we're basically teaching people to protect their self-image. And I want to tell you, brethren, that's dangerous. We got to make sure that we're not taking these great strides to save face. Because when you save face, God gets no glory. But when you open yourself up, oh, He gets the glory. When you come with a tender heart saying, God, I need You. I need You. God gets the glory. And that is what the goal is. But I also think about my image is the way I carry myself. Every man and woman here should keep that in mind. And the way you speak, the way you dress yourself, the places you go, that totally matters when it comes to the glory of God. You want to carry yourself always where it's going to point towards the Lord and not towards me. Nothing wrong with looking nice. Nothing wrong with that at all. I think it's totally appropriate to be fashionable. I'm not even talking about that, but I'm talking about when there is a heart, a desire where you want the attention. That's a heart problem. And you need to say, God, forgive me of that. I don't want people to be so focused on me. I want them to be focused on You. That will rob God of His glory. He sought the glamour instead of godliness. And number three, same verse, he relished his power instead of relinquishing his power. Notice there in verse 21, it says that he sat upon his throne. Oh yes, he loved that spot. Herod loved that spot. And this is something that we all need to take very close attention to. We do not need to ever, let me say this again, ever be in a place where we relish control. Okay? No. God does give us areas of life where we can have some control, whether it be leadership or whatever the case may be, but not to the point where we abuse it, not to the point where we control our lives and we abuse that control. That is not God's intention for His children and neither for lost people, because a person that does not get saved, they simply are saying, I have control of this. I will go salvation my way. God, You can have Your way. And they're saying, You're not going to have control over me. But you see, Herod sat on his throne here. He was in essence his own God. He delighted in having power over his own life and, quite frankly, over others, as we saw with the guards who were all murdered. And folks, we got to make sure that it is the Lord who is showing forth the power and the control in our lives. Matthew 6:13 says, "For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever and ever." Amen. It's His power. It's His control. My life is that way. And my friends, if you are in any way shunning the hand of God from controlling your life and leading you in this life, you are in essence saying, "Lord, I want the glory." And we don't need to be there. Martin Luther said this, "I have held many things in my hands, and I have lost them all. But whatever I have placed in God's hands, that I still possess." Folks, He is worthy to be in control of my life. I can trust Him with my life, my everything. I don't need to have a power trip and thinking that I know what to do better. No, God always knows better. And power should never go to anybody's head in any type of way, because it is the Lord who is ultimately in charge. But Herod didn't believe that. He had other plans. So therefore, God had other plans for him. Number four, I want us to see that the reason that Herod gave not God the glory was also because he delighted in praise instead of deflecting praise. He delighted in praise instead of deflecting praise. As we see there in your Bible, it says the people gave a shout, and that does truly give the indication, it is implied that it was a continual shout. It was a chant. It's the voice of a God and not of a man. It's the voice of a God and not of a man. I'm telling you, they were just roaring with this cheer. Just who knows how many people, but multitudes of people chanting and cheering on. Here's Herod in his big silver robe sitting upon his throne, just soaking it up. And at that point, he could have rebuked the crowd. He could have hushed them. Even as a follower of Judaism, he could have hushed the crowd. It's so obvious through the book of Deuteronomy and Leviticus and Exodus and all through the Word of God in the Old Testament. It is for sure that God shares His glory with no man. And at that point, he should have said, stop! Stop! This has gone too far. I am not the one who is a God. But he didn't. Josephus gives the report that he relished it. He delighted in it. He delighted in that praise. It got to him. And he liked it. And that was a big mistake. Notice what Isaiah 42:8 says. I am the Lord. That is my name. And my glory will I not give to another. Neither my praise to graven images. Listen, God is not ever, mark it down, ever going to give His glory to anybody else. It is Him and Him alone who is worthy to be praised. You see, we have here a man that allowed this flattery move from this multitude of people to get to his head, and it messed him up. And my friends, we gotta be careful with that, because this is indeed what sealed his fate. This is what doomed him right here. What can we learn from this? Well, we gotta be very careful and cautious that we never accept praise and glory that takes the place of God. You know, flattery can be a dangerous thing. Proverbs 29:5 says this, a man that flattereth his neighbor spreadeth a net for his feet. You know what the proverb is telling there? It's telling, be careful, because flattery can be a trap. It can be a trap. It can get to your head where you enjoy the glory. You like people praising you and telling how good you are, how good looking you are, how talented you are. Hey, listen, I'm not in any way condemning compliments, acts of kindness. I'm in no way condemning that. That can be totally appropriate, but only it is deflected to the Lord God of glory. Whether it be in your heart, somebody gives you a compliment or praise, in your heart immediately you need to tell God thank you. It's because of you. Listen, any good thing that you do or have, I want to tell you, it's because of God. Anything. And when someone compliments you, I think you ought to be courteous and kind and thankful for a compliment, but quickly deflect it and in your heart to the Lord, saying, Lord, that's because of you. Or even if you can verbally and it's appropriate, say something like, praise the Lord. To God be the glory. Thank God. You get the attention right back to Him. God help us if we ever get to the point as individuals or as a church where we are marveling in success and people tell us this and that and oh, it starts getting to our head. I want to tell you, God will shut this thing down real quick. Anything good that happens at Crooked Creek Baptist Church, whether it be people saved, people revived, families growing, being discipled, if as we do work to our auditorium and the church is expanding, I want to mark it down. We must always make sure God is getting the glory. Never let it go to our heads. It's all because of Him. It's because of His power and His provisions. It's because of His plan that this is all going to work out as long as we stay submitted to Him with a humble, Christ-like spirit. We don't delight in praise. We deflect it to the one, the only one who is worthy of it. I'm not worthy of praise. Only my God. And I want Him to be glorified. My friend, what is God speaking to you about today concerning His glory? May every one of us in our hearts let the praise of God come from our hearts as it did with King David as they had taken up an offering. You'll remember in 1 Chronicles 29, they had taken up an offering for the temple. And the prayer that David put forth sums up this message. And it says this in 1 Chronicles chapter 29. Thine, O Lord, is the greatness and the power and the glory and the victory and the majesty. For all that is in the heaven and in the earth is thine. Thine is the kingdom, O Lord, and thou art exalted as head above all. That's it right there. That ought to be the theme of our life. Right there. Right there. Right here. Let it be the theme of your home. Let it be the theme of your heart. Teenager, let this be the theme of your life. Young at heart, middle age, whatever. Middle school age. Church, let's let this be our theme of praise. Hey, I don't know what God's dealing with you about today. But as we have worked through the reasons that Herod did not give God the glory, is there anything that God touched you on and said, that's mine. That's my glory. I want that glory. Can I tell you, we have a merciful God who gives us the opportunity to say, Lord, you're right. That is your glory. And I'm giving it back. And this point forward, by the grace of God, I'm going to point it towards you. I do not want to take or not give glory to God. Here in just a moment, we're going to have an invitation, and this is an opportunity for you to respond in your heart to the Lord God Almighty.